We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. Yeah, there's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung upon the cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Good morning. Some of you are, half of you realize it might be good. The other half are not yet. Let's try. Good morning. It is so good to be in God's house here today. This is a beautiful place of His sanctuary He's created. Amen. And it's a joy to be able to come and worship the Creator who loves us. Who's already been here. Who's already working ahead. Who's already got something in store for you. For you just to receive. That's a great thing. For His mercies are new every morning. And as you see the peace of this beautiful water behind us, man, God's peace is even greater. And so let His Spirit, just like these waves, come rushing over you. Let Him just speak into you. As we gather here, we always like to say this is a no judgment zone. It's a grace place, because it is. Jesus came to this world not to condemn, but to save. And you are worth saving again and again and again. And so we're grateful you're here. We really believe that God's brought you here. And we want to honor that gift. And so in your worship folder, there's a connection card. And if you have an opportunity to fill it out, we'd love to be able to connect with you. It's our way of welcoming and be able to recognize your presence here with us also. And you see on the bottom of it, it has about prayer requests. We love to hear maybe how you heard about it, but also what's on your heart, especially in what you're praying about. Our team prays about this. We pray over these. So we are grateful to be part of that, and that's a way we can help and be walk with you and minister to you too within prayers. We are in a series on the Gospel of John, and it's kind of titled The Jesus You Never Knew. And Jesus in the Gospels is always revealing Himself and trying to lead us to something greater with Him. And today is no different. Jesus is revealing something to us that really I pray to just capture our hearts, that He is this bread of life. And what does it mean that He's this bread of life for us? And so that's going to be our focus today. So I invite you. If you want to, you're welcome to stand as we begin worship together. If you want to stay seated, that's fine too. We want you just to worship in a way that's meaningful and good for you. And so, Lord, you have gathered us here in your presence. And not with just crumbs from the Master's table. But, Lord, you have brought your full self here to speak to us, to minister, to touch us, to just be with us. And so, Lord, we pray by your Holy Spirit that, man, you just open our eyes and our ears and our hearts for you. Give us those ears to hear, that heart to receive, and for what we truly quench, what we truly thirst, what we truly hunger is you. So let us, as John would say, let us feast in you, the great high priest, the great king, the great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, this morning we're going to sing the gospel, so join me and sing this. It goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Do you believe that this morning? Sing that out again. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Come all you weary, and come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. And come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come lay it down. A taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. And all of God's people said this, for God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Yeah. Bring all your failures, and bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. You see his open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell, the power of hell, forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. Sing this out. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. It is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Amen, amen. So hope is one of those things that we stand here in the midst of our circumstances. And by the way, I'm not void of any circumstances. And I stand up here and I think, wow, today's not the greatest of days. But when I pause and I think, it is a great day because what I'm doing is I'm looking forward with hope. That's what hope is, right? It's looking forward with joy, knowing that God has everything under control. And he's had everything under control from the beginning. And so we sing a song like this, and the chorus says, "Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You've broken every chain. There's salvation in your name." And our response is, "Jesus Christ, my living hope." So this morning as we sing that, let's just sing that out for everyone in this whole vicinity to hear us, all right? It goes like this. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountains I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadow of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Sing this out. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declares the grave has no claim on me. Let's sing that out again. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Oh, Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken free chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Yeah. He is our living Lord. Amen. I ask you, if you want to remain standing for the Gospels, I read it from John chapter 6. If you want to follow along in your worship folder. It says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is his will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered him, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that the one may eat of it, not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. You may be seated. Have you noticed this in life, that there's always another finish line? We finally reach what we've been chasing after, and before long, we're already chasing something else. I mean, I remember thinking, man, if I could just graduate, I can't wait to just graduate. And then you graduate, and then I'll get married and get married and have kids, and then it's have a home. And if it's only we can do this, only if that, if only the church could just do this. And it seems like every season has an if only. And I realize that the finish line never satisfies me as much as I thought. And maybe the problem isn't that we're chasing the wrong finish line, but maybe we're trying to satisfy a hunger this world was never designed to fill. I mean, we're living in one of the most comfortable cultures in history. We have more conveniences than any other generation before us. More entertainment, more choices, more streaming, more food, more vacations, more Amazon boxes on the porches. And yet, Anxiety keeps rising. Depression keeps rising. Loneliness keeps rising. Apparently, having more bread doesn't mean less hunger. Number one, in your notes, you want to follow along. We often chase what the world promises, but it never satisfies. This group is chasing Jesus. They're trying to find him. And it's because, well, they're hungry. And he's fed them. And they're chasing him. And Jesus, they come to him. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw a sign, but because you were filled of loaves. In other words, you are seeking me because I fed you this bread and you were full and satisfied. But then when you woke up in the morning, you were hungry again. And so now you're chasing me to be satisfied again with more bread. And notice, when Jesus interacts with them, they're not saying, look, hey, it's wrong for wanting bread. Jesus didn't say that. He's saying, you're settling for too little. And you're missing the bigger picture. See, Jesus is trying to lead them this. A, the human heart was created for something eternal. Temporary things can never satisfy that eternal hunger. They will keep you on a little hamster wheel going after one after another. God knows, and God is okay, understands our problem. And he knows this isn't hunger. Our problem is not that we're hungry. He gets it. The problem is, where do we go when we are hungry? Jesus kind of helps to try to direct them. He says, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which is the Son of Man will give to you. He's like, you're putting all this energy, you're chasing after things that are temporary, that will perish, that never last. And then he kind of just flips it right over and says, your chasing won't last. And if you don't even have to chase me, I give it to you. I'll give it to you. The Son of Man will give it. You don't even have to work. Now, if this starts to resonate with you, I want you to know that you're in good company with a lot of people. Because even the prophet Isaiah in the 6th century B.C. writes to the people the same thing. Isaiah 55, 2-3. He says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for which is not will not satisfy? Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. Now, I think most of us, we know this. We know that chasing temporary things that will perish and won't last, I mean, they can't satisfy. We all have probably a junk drawer of things that we chased after that we still hold on to that don't work. That are like meaningless. But the frustrating thing I find is even though I know this, I still struggle with it. My heart keeps running to the next finish line. I mean, last year in December, we ended the year with better numbers and in so many different ways of average attendance and stuff. And instead of just celebrating and being satisfied, I already had moved on to another finish line. I had different numbers and different accomplishments and different things that were going to happen. And all that did was create frustration, dissatisfaction, burnout, which hurt not just me, but those around me. Because I was hangry. Just hangry. Angry and hungry. Not satisfied. Because it just seems like in life, every finish line immediately becomes another starting line. You graduate, now find a job. You get a job, now get promoted. You get promoted, now buy a house. You buy a house, now remodel. You retire, now worry about your health. Life keeps saying, just one more. Just one more, and you'll finally arrive, and you'll be satisfied. Sin always promises satisfaction at one more finish line away. Just one more. And yet Jesus says, I already am. I am. So I want to give you a moment to just be a little reflective and honest with yourself and God, and just to name it. B, what have I been expecting to satisfy me that can never truly can? What is it that you've been chasing? Maybe it's just vacation, the next school year, success, a wedding, a money, retirement, a move to 30A. Number two, Jesus doesn't just give life, he is life. I mean, imagine for a moment you're in this crowd. I mean, yesterday Jesus fed them 5,000 men, probably 15 to 20,000 people. It's an incredible miracle. Everybody ate. Everyone was satisfied. Everybody was just amazed. The next morning, you wake up and you realize Jesus is gone. Panic. And some, to get to the other side of the lake where Jesus is at, some of them had to hike 10 miles around the lake. Others had to scavenge for boats to get across the lake. Either way, they are very determined to get there. And they finally found him. And now imagine their excitement. Maybe he's going to feed us again. And we'll be satisfied. Instead, Jesus kind of says, in a paraphrase, you have completely misunderstood yesterday. You couldn't understand the sign that was right in front of you. You couldn't read it. It's kind of like if we all went to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and we're there for dinner and the waiter brings us this warm bread and you like eat one and like, oh, that's good. And another, another, another. Next you know, you ate a dozen rolls waiting for your steak. And so when the steak arrives, you're like, oh man, I'm just full. You missed the meal. The bread wasn't the point. It pointed towards something greater. The miracle wasn't the meal. The miracle pointed to Jesus and who Jesus is. And yet the crowd got filled up on the appetizer and walked away from the feast. Jesus is coming to them and says, look, this is who you feast on. He's offering himself. I am the bread of life, he says in verse 35. I'm not the side dish. I am. And whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes me shall never thirst. Jesus is no longer offering these miracles, these signs to them. He's now speaking very directly to them. And he's saying, look, you don't need another miracle. You need another sign. I am the bread of life. He offers himself. This is the I am. This is the God that revealed himself to the fathers who rescued and delivered them from slavery and made them his own and conquered land and gave them a promised land. This is a God who dwelt amongst them, who led them through the wilderness, who gave them manna, the bread of life, the life bread, manna during the day, every day for food in the desert. Led them with the cloud, the protection, and the fire. and brought them to this promised land in which he dwelt with them. He tabernacled with them. As John would say, this is a God who dwelt with them, and he was in the Holy of Holies. And John is saying, look, God is not just in his Holy of Holies, and now he's in our hearts. He's here. And here Jesus is saying, look, this God has come. He's been sent to you. The God of your fathers is here, right here. I'm offering myself to you. And he couldn't see it. He couldn't believe it. And I think we struggle with that too. Because so many people, I think, view Christianity. See, Christianity is not about primarily getting something from Jesus. It's about receiving Jesus himself. It's about him dwelling in us, tabernacling in us. It's relationship, not exchange, not work for benefits. Jesus is saying to them, I am the finish line. And it's interesting, the crowd really shows us something else about our behavior. It's that no matter how very sincere, how very committed, how even if we go to the greatest lengths in seeking Jesus, yet if we're still seeking him for the wrong reasons, the lesser things, we miss him. I mean, we could applaud their devotion. They went to extreme lengths and sacrifices to chase Jesus down, and yet they truly missed the greater blessing because they were so consumed by their own earthly comfort and needs, their own wills. I mean, do we chase Jesus? Do we pursue Jesus? Do we seek him in our prayer life only for what makes our will and comfort? Or is it just to be and receive Jesus? So the question I have for you today is, what are you chasing that you've convinced you cannot live without? The crowd is convinced they can't live without bread. Bread that is served from Chef Jesus. And Jesus says, you can't live without me. That's a huge difference. But notice Jesus adds this promise so that even when we're running to him with the wrong reasons or the wrong, looking for lesser things, there's this beautiful thing that Jesus says there. He says in verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That means the addict, the exhausted mom, a guilty father, the lonely widow, the doubting teenager, the successful businessman who's empty, secretly empty. Jesus say, look, I'll think about you. He says, I never, never cast out. He's not saying, look, go clean yourself up before you come to me. He's not saying, go make yourself worthy. No, he simply says, come. Come. Come hungry. Come broken. Because empty hands are exactly what grace fills. See, the only qualification for the bread of life is that you're hungry. that you want the bread, the spiritual bread. Grace always feeds people who know they cannot feed themselves. Jesus never turns away empty people. Only those who are self-satisfied, who are self-sufficient, who are prideful, are the ones who walk away disappointed. Look what Psalm 107 says. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for he satisfies, who? The longing soul, the hungry. And the hungry soul he fills with what? Good things. A, am I seeking Jesus, or am I simply what I hope he will give me? I mean, what is underneath our worship? What is underneath our devotion? Are we really seeking him and his good things that he wants to give? Or are we seeking him to give us the good things we think he should give us? Jesus says, come. And today Jesus comes to us in worship. He has gathered us again. He has called us. He comes to us. Why? To feed hungry people. Because every week the world feeds you. It feeds you another lie, another finish line. Buy this, become this, achieve this, fear this, chase this. And those leave us always hungry. And Jesus says, come. Because I come to you who are hungry. And he doesn't hand you another self-help strategy. He doesn't give you three principles for a successful life. He simply says, believe in me. I am the bread of life. Receive, believe, and be satisfied. See, three, the bread of life is received. It's not earned. The Jews are grumbling here. They know his family. They think they know where he came from. They assume they know Jesus himself. And they think they know everything about God. And they think they know so much is that it's blinding them. It's blocking them from knowing the true Jesus. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, those words in our culture, and even back then, are offensive. Because they remove our boasting. They remove our work. Jesus is saying, look, salvation is all God's work. He draws you. He gives you desire. He moves in your heart. He opens it. He breaks it. He molds it. He shapes it. He gives you the faith. See, grace leaves no room for pride. No room for our work. Our faith is a gift. In fact, Jesus doubles down it several times and reminds them it's a gift from heaven that you didn't order. That you could not order to come. It's not in your grasp or understanding. It's a gift from heaven that's been given to us. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Verse 48. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. In other words, they were so stuck on just the temporal. In fact, Jesus had to correct them because they thought it came from Moses. And he has to say, no, it's from the Father. Because they're so into just a temporal earthly life. No, and he says, this bread comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This manna was a gift of God from heaven. In fact, they couldn't make it. They couldn't even gather more than just a daily amount of bread. because it would rot. They had to sit there and go, I'm dependent on this bread from heaven. Jesus, God was not only providing bread for sustain them on this temporal journey and this life, but he was teaching them that we are dependent upon this bread daily. And Jesus saying, look, I'm the bread of abundance that doesn't dissolve and go bad, that lasts forever. I am this great bread from heaven that will sustain you now and forever. And what we ask is that you believe that I am the one who sent from the Lord, has been given to you. Jesus reminded him, hey, God, Jesus is God's gracious gift to hungry sinners. God continues to give us that bread in our life today through his word. This is the word, this is the bread of life for us that we get to receive and devour. But so many people just think it's a book. So many people think it's just words. It's living words. It's the bread of life that feeds the hunger in our soul. And this bread of life doesn't just come to us through his word, but he comes to us through his meal where we truly take in his body and blood for us to feed us, sustain us with this eternal food of our soul that says, you are forgiven. Your sins are forgotten. They are removed. You have eternal life. Jesus promised that he will raise you up, that you've been sealed in the faith through your baptism, sealed and kept and reinforced and strengthened in the word and the supper, that the gift of salvation, that you will be raised. Sin has no conquer over you. Condemnation, thank you, over you. Jesus, again, is repeating and reminded, again, B, we don't earn him. Receive by faith. Paul writes about this in Ephesians, and I think it's an incredible verse to come back because it's so easy to, especially in our world when we sin, we feel like we gotta chase God back in order for him to come to us, in order for him to be with us. And we came to him hungry. We're going to be main hungry because we're broken. And Jesus knows that and he's okay. And that's why the bread from heaven came. And Paul reminds us that it's for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But just notice the order. Grace, faith, then works. It's never the reverse. The bread of life isn't earned. It's received in faith. Jesus is saying, look, what did Paul, the Hebrew writer says, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. In other words, he's the finish line. He does it for us. He brings the finish line that is far off from us because our sin is so great. We can never reach it. And he says, look, I did it. And I brought it to you. It's the gift. And so Jesus is more than enough. He's abundant. And what does he do? He gives that to us. And so he's saying to us, you are enough. You don't need to prove yourself. You don't need to try to strive. The work has been done. It's finished. That's what he said on the cross to tell us that it is finished. It is paid in full. So see, where do you need to stop striving, chasing, and simply receive Christ's grace? Or in your life, trying to get your value, your worth, your satisfaction, and you stop chasing and just receiving Christ. I mean, think of your last week. Where are you looking for life? What tables have you been eating at or eating from? Success? Fear? politics, children, retirement, wealth, your own goodness? What is it keeps promising satisfaction and that keeps leaving you empty every Monday? Jesus isn't asking you to try harder. He's inviting you to come. Receive, believe, rest. A memory verse, John 6:35, we can read it together. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Church, the world is full of people carrying empty plates, convinced that the next meal, the next purchase, the next relationship, the next achievement, the next finish line will finally satisfy them. If only when. But we know better. Not because we're smarter, because we've been fed by grace. We have found the bread of life, and when Christ has satisfied your soul, satisfied people become generous people. Satisfied people become joyful people. Satisfied people become people mission-minded. Because hungry people consume. Satisfied people give and serve. And that's the kind of people Jesus is developing. Those that he dwells with, who are satisfied, who say, God, your grace is enough. It truly is enough. And God, you're even more generous, that you not only lavish us with incredible grace, but other good things, because you love your children. But we all understand those good things are because of your grace, because of you. And because of that, I am satisfied. And whatever I have is yours to serve you. And that is what Jesus is calling us to be satisfied and serve. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you love people who are hungry. Thankful that especially when we have what I call destination disease of what's next, and running, you love us. And you're patient to keep calling us to you. And you're also so gracious to say, here it is. Here it is again. Do you trust me? I mean, just receive it. Just sit in it. And so, Lord, we confess that, man, we've been chasing what the world tells us to chase, what these other cultural expectations. So, Lord, we turn to you, the bread of life, to receive. Now, that's your confession that I just want to pronounce unto you as a called and ordained servant. The Lord has forgiven you of all your sins. And he's the bread of life. And he comes and he gives you it again. And that bread of life, it gives us faith. It renews us. It satisfies. And it lets us rest in his goodness and grace. That we're enough. We're enough. I mean, Paul, I love it. He says, God has prepared good works for you in advance that you walk in it. You didn't have to chase it. You don't have to strive for it. You just walk in it. Because God has placed you in this world, and God has got things already in store. He's already wired you certain ways. You don't have to try to create something. He's got the great work for you. It's already there for you to do. You just walk in it because you're walking with him. And so, Lord, would we just continue to dwell with you, commune with you, to walk with you,
to just have this heart that is soft with you, that just responds to your proppings. Because, Lord, we know it's all by your grace. And so, Lord, those of your children, we come to your throne with great confidence because of your grace and mercy and the goodness of your character. That we cry out in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, we talk about those who are satisfied or joyful, and the Apostle Paul says that the Lord loves a joyful giver. It's interesting that one of the only times in God's Scripture he talks about he loves a certain characteristic, and it's a joyful giver, because God's a joyful giver. And he knows that we give joyfully when we are satisfied in him. And so we have an opportunity in our worship today to respond to that grace joyfully with our offerings, and you can use the text to give, the envelope there, or the QR code, however the Lord leads. Also in your worship folder, there's that connection card. If you turn to the backside today, if you want to take a next step of faith, if you've not been baptized, you feel God is prompting you, we have a baptism after the service. You're invited to be part of it, but to witness it, or if you haven't been baptized, to be part of it and also be baptized. So come gather after the service today for a baptism. This week on Tuesday, we have what we call large life group. We usually have like life groups, small groups in the homes and around during the year and semesters. In the summer, we do kind of a large time with we gather all together. And so this Tuesday, we're having a potluck and a life group gathering with Pastor Paul Ziegler. He is a very gifted pastor and also a chaplain and psychologist. And so he's really going to equip us. He's going to talk about some mission trips that he's done and also the work and equip on us what we call being a really a good 2 a.m. friend. Our world around us is experiencing trauma. And if you've been with people with the different traumas, you just want to love, want to help. Well, this just gives us a way to just love. We're not here to fix, but how to love with them. And he's going to help us through that journey. And I really encourage you to come. If it help you to be a better parent, a grandparent, and a better friend, if you kind of learn how to listen in this framework and to help people in their journey. Also, we got some other places you see there. Life group. If you want to come on Tuesday night, hey, if you can bring something for the meal, for the potluck, let me know. Write it on the connection card if you're going to bring a salad or appetizer or a main dish. That would be greatly appreciated as we try to pull this together for Tuesday. Thank you in advance. Also, there's find places to belong, opportunities to connect. I'd love to meet with you if you have an opportunity, want to get connected a little more about hope. And we've been very blessed with a very good, great group of volunteers. And we love to add to this team to help out, especially in the summer when people are traveling more. And Lord, if you can just plan to, hey, can I just give one Sunday, just step one Sunday to help out, it would be greatly appreciated. In fact, if you want to help out at the end of service to help break down this sound and help us move it to the trailer, that would also be a major blessing. But I want to encourage for you to commit for a service, be part of that team, get connected, get an opportunity where people can love and pray for you and walk with you in a closer way too. So as we continue our worship, ushers are going to come around with buckets. You can put your connection card and your offering envelope in there as we worship together. So I invite us to rise as we...
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus the name. Jesus the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your love and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever praise. Worthy. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Singing holy, there is none like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes. Wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me your love to those around me.
Amen. Well, let me give the blessing today as we depart. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, you have a blessed day in the Lord.